Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Hogan Johns.
Some things in the kicking game, we got to do a better job. You know, obviously kicking out of bounds. We also had, obviously, the missed extra point.
Oh, they missed it.
He missed the extra point.
Oh, no.
Cairo Santos keeps it a six-point game.
Justin obviously had that really nice run.
There's room to run for Fields.
Fields. Oh,
turn it on to speed. Try to outrace Okuda. And he'll beat him to the goal line for the touchdown.
Covering the Bears from CHG. Geo, it's Adam Ho.
Win some, lose some.
Damn, that hurt.
And from The Athletic, it's Adam Johns.
Man, this is harder than I thought.
Yeah, you thought wrong.
Fields in trouble.
Breaks free of two tacklers. Now trying to break the third, and Okwara has him.
We lose.
Don't lose faith, guys.
It's Hogan Johns.
What's up? Welcome in, Hogan Johns, or Fishbane and Johns. Johns and Fishbane. What's up, Kevin Fishbane? Filling in for Adam Hoke, who's at a wedding in Denver. What's going on?
What's going on, Johnsy? I'm waving to you.
We are in separate suites at Soldier Field, and they won't turn the lights on for us. I'm in a suite right next to the press box. You see Larry Mayer right here? No? Can you see him? Dan Weider right here. If you're watching on YouTube live right now, you can see everybody behind me. I'll get out of the way for a second. There's
hey,
the one and only Larry Mayer. Dan Weider is over there.
Hard.
Chicago Tribune. Colleen Kane. Our friend Patrick Finley is over there.
Larry's story, the game actually ended after Justin Fields' touchdown run to put them up 30-24.
Ouch. Ouch, ouch, ouch. That was an electric run, though, Kevin.
It was. It was special.
Feels that it was pretty special. All right, you know the deal. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Johns, at K Fishbane. You can read us on theathletic.com. Our friend Adam Hoge is away out of town on a wedding in Denver. You can read all his stuff, find all his stuff, watch all his stuff on allchgo.com. And we are here at Soldier Field where we just watch the Bears lose 31-30 to the Lions. Kev, I want to start with this. Let me read you.
Sorry, did they lose?
Yes, they did.
Some people on my Twitter keep calling this a win.
No, so can we not do that? I don't want to do that.
I'm not doing that. I don't do that.
So
they lost.
Let me read you a stat line.
Did I derail you here?
No, I do. We're going to go there like right now. So here's the stats. 13 rushing attempts for 147 yards, a long of 67. He averaged 11.3 yards per carry, two touchdowns. That aforementioned electric 67-yarder. Passing, he was 12 for 20 for 167. Two touchdowns, a long of 50, a big touchdown to Cole Kmet. Passer rating of 99.4. Three sacks and a really bad interception that was a pick six and the tying play of the game. So you hear those stats, and do you want to count that as a win for the Bears? Because I still want to see the next step in their development, Justin Fields' development, is turning all that good stuff I just said, those stats, into victories. Is it not?
It is. They got to win. He needs a win. Like, this was the perfect opportunity when the Lions scored to go up one. Justin Fields with the ball against the worst defense in football, at home, drive down the field, set up Cairo Santos for the field goal, score a touchdown, whatever. Okay, like, they have if you believe everything about this season is the development of Justin Fields and nothing else matters. You know what's important for the development of Justin Fields? Learning how to win and learning how to engineer these drives. And yes, it's not the greatest group of wide receivers. Yes, it's not a very good offensive line, and he's getting pressure. But this was the game, Johnsy. This was the one that you don't want to have a quote-unquote moral victory. You don't want to lose to the Lions at home when your quarterback does that.
Let me tell you, in that locker room, that does not feel like a moral victory. I think you got some of those vibes against the Dolphins last week. It was an exciting game. The Dolphins were heavily favored. That's a really good team. The Bears let one slip away here. They're up 14 points in the fourth quarter. That was their victory. That was Justin Fields' victory. Forget Cairo Santos' mixed extra point. I get it. The difference needs to be Justin Fields in the end. Two-minute drill, leading his team into field goal range or better, and giving Cairo Santos that second opportunity, that opportunity to redeem himself. You did not get that today.
And you know who wants that opportunity? Is Justin Fields.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
He wants to win. He's not happy about the way that game ended. He was now he part of this, I think, was how he feels physically. He told us he's beaten up. He's sore. He got stitches in his ear. He sat in his locker for a long time after this game. He was on his phone. He was talking to quarterback coach Andrew Janoco. We waited a while to hear from Justin Fields, and that was not because he was off celebrating. It was not, he had to deal with the ear injury, certainly, but this was someone that is frustrated, and he said that, and I think that, there were so many, I want to be careful here because, yes, we saw good things. We saw more good things that tell us, hey, this guy could be the guy. I go back, John's, the drive to end the first half and their first drive of the third quarter. Those were two drives that you look at those and you're like, that's the quarterback that the Bears have been looking for a long time. But unfortunately, the pick six and the inability to stop the Lions and the inability to score when they had the ball at the end, we kind of can forget about those drives.
Well, the pick six is an obvious example of trying to do too much. Is it not? It was a blown screen to Cole Kmet, and you just got to throw the ball into the dirt. Sometimes that's a needed learning experience for a young quarterback. You could see where he's coming from. Things were going well for him. You're trusting your receiver to be there. But that was a badly thrown ball in a very – you can't do that when you're backed up against your own end zone. You just can't. He needs to learn from mistakes like that.
Yeah, and I don't think that the pick six is not as reflective of who he is probably as a quarterback as the touchdown runs, right? He hadn't thrown an interception since New England. He'd been doing a really good job with his decision making. This was one really bad play. But the problem is they lost by 1 point. So when you talk about all the reasons they lost by 1 point, you could talk about Santos missed extra point. You can talk about the officiating. You could talk about the defense, especially in the first half. You also have to talk about the pick six. That's part of it. And that's part of Justin Fields' story. It's part of his arc right now that there are still so many different ways that he can grow as a quarterback. And I think he really could have gone a long way to get us to not talk about the pick six if the offense had been able to engineer a game-winning drive. Johns, I want to talk about that drive at the start of the third quarter, though, because let's flip it positively. Remember that first play? He threw a strike to Darnell Mooney for 15 yards. They had a third down. Again, he hit Mooney, 22 yards. Screen pass to Kmet.
Right to left. Too.
Yep, going through his reads. And I love a tight end screen, which is what they tried to do in the pick six. Screen to Kmet. If you see me squinting on YouTube, it's because I'm not wearing my glasses. So I don't like the glare. Then you had him throw the ball away when Hutchinson pressured him on a rollout.
Great decision.
They had a beautiful jet sweep to Dante Pettis. I know you like that play on third and one. He takes a draw play, Montgomery run play, touchdown to Kmet. That was the drive. That was the, hey, this is what our offense is now. This is what we can be. This is how he's grown as a passer. So, I do think I think in the big picture, we could talk more about that drive than the pick six. But in the moment, I think the pick six just looms large, just like their touchdown run does.
He was 4 for 5 on that drive for 53 yards. Like you mentioned, his one incompletion was a great decision. Didn't try to do too much. He maintained the third and short, the third and one. It was second and one. They rolled him out. Hutchinson gave chase. He threw the ball away. Great decision. You love to see that because I think he has a tendency to try to do a little bit too much because he could do more than others. He could do more than others. But in that case, Hutchinson was with him, threw the ball away, maintained the third and short. Bears converted with some ingenuity from Luke Etze. I love what they're doing in those third and short situations. But I think you can praise everything Justin Fields did today that was good. The running. That 67-yarder, again, was electric. Some of these completions we were just talking about. While still acknowledging that he has to get better in the passing game, especially in the two-minute situation. And that's okay. He's a good player who needs to be better in the all-important situations within the game. We've seen two games in a row right now where the win is there in his hands. He just has to deliver it, and it has to come through the air. That's okay. You can praise everything he did today. There was improvement in the passing game. But the next step in his development is those two-minute situations. That's what needs to happen. It is.
And I think we need to see things too, John, that tell us that next year, let's assume that they have a better offensive line. Let's assume they have better weapons at receiver and tight end because of the cap space, because of the draft picks, right? I haven't seen anything yet that tells me that because he has all those things, he will lead that kind of drive with his arm, right? I'm not saying he's not capable of it. I think he's absolutely capable of it. He did it in college all the time. He did it against the Steelers last year. But I want to see him, you know, like, you can't sit here and say, well, once he's got better players around him, you know, this is a win. You know, he leads the touchdown drive. We don't know that. Like, that's why, again, we just part of this. We're just trying to build who this guy is, who he can be, and that's just the next step for him. Another, I will say, though, up until that pick six, I thought that the passing game really made some progress. It wasn't big, wasn't a ton of yards, but you just talked about it. The way he went through his progressions on the throw to Mooney, the touchdowns to Cole Kmet, they were there. Like, this was going to be a game where we said, hey, the passing game picked it up. So it did. You did see improvements there, absolutely. And then you just have these two big moments, the pick six and the not able to make the play late.
And I don't think we're being overly critical either.
No,
Justin Fields, in some cases, still needs to get the ball out quicker. I think he would acknowledge that. I think Luke Getsy will coach him hard at that. That's part of the process of learning to be an NFL quarterback. It's throwing into tighter windows. It's throwing with anticipation. He's gotten better with all of that. Acknowledging that's okay. I don't know if it's in a case of us being overly critical. It's just what you're seeing. It's what needs to happen. It's what he wants to happen. Put it that way. It's him being upset with certain plays. It's him learning to get through his progressions faster. Like, even like the Mooney 2020, the 22-yarder to Mooney is an example. But even like in the final 2 minutes where he gets to Kmet, and Kmet has the collision with the cornerback, and he gets hurt on that play. That was his third read on that play. With good protection, he stepped up, and he was going to go there. But then you saw just bad luck on the Bears' part again as Cole Kmet collided with the Lions' cornerback, and he was down, and what you had was a slip-of-hand throw by Justin Fields.
Yeah, I think when we go back and watch some of those plays, we'll see why he had to get to Kmet, because his first two reads were covered, right? And we're going to see that he was under tons of duress from that Lions' defensive front on that final drive. So again, you can sit here and say, hey, a little more time in the pocket, guys getting open, he makes those plays. But again, I think it's fair to say we want, like, to want examples, right? You know, we were joking in the press box that for all the fans, and like, I don't want to generalize, this is not everybody, right? I think there are a lot of people that are going game to game and still want to see the Bears win games and are excited about Justin Fields. But we were joking, like, all this idea of what a perfect game, they lose, but Fields does well, but they're still complaining about the referees. You know, like, when you're a Bears fan, I imagine you still want to win every game in the moment. Like, maybe you step back and see the big picture and see a perspective and see that this means a slightly better draft position, maybe. But let me ask you about this trade-off here, Johnsy, and I hope we're not going down too much of a rabbit hole, but if the Bears have the fourth pick in the draft, okay, instead of the second pick, but it's because Justin Fields led two game-winning touchdown drives that got them two victories, more than they were going to have. Like, I'll take that Justin Fields trade-off.
Yeah, 100%. You want him to have that confidence and that experience. That's it. You can point the fingers at the defense in this game. They got gashed by Jared Goff. The pass rush is non-existent. You have to blitz the linebackers. You have to blitz Kyler Gordon. It's the only way you're generating pressure consistently. They just can't do it with their front four. That's why you saw some third and long completions. But at the end of the day, like, every team in the NFL would take that situation at the end. More than 2 minutes on the clock, you still having timeouts, and your quarterback with the ball in his hands. That's what all great quarterbacks want. That's the opportunity that they want. And the best ones succeed in those situations. I'm not being overly harsh on Justin Fields, I don't think, because he's still young. He needs to have these experiences in order to get better at them. He just happens to have had them in back-to-back weeks. One against a very good team in the Dolphins, and one against a team in the Lions, let's face it, the Bears should beat.
And I almost liken this to, you know, you hear us for, if you're in a slump in basketball, you just got to see one go through the hoop, right? You always hear basketball players say that. Once you see it go through, then you feel good. You pick it up. You know, if you're in a hitting slump, you just got to get that one hit, get off the schneid. I do think this is a team that if they can just get that one game-winning drive, that just gives them so much confidence that they can do it. They just have to see it. You know, Darnell Mooney said that in practice, they were dominating two-minute drills. The problem is we learned from the Mark Trestman era, it doesn't matter what you do in practice. You got to be able to do it in the game. But you just get the sense that these guys, they kept talking about finish, execution. And the other thing, too, you know who probably really wanted to see a game-winning drive from his quarterback today? Even if it meant a slightly worse draft pick? Ryan Poles.
Matt Eberflus.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus. But, like, don't you think, yeah. Like Ryan Poles, who is able to have more big picture perspective about what everything means for the long term than the coaching staff. We've sat in front of these guys during away games. They want to win as much as everybody in that locker room. So, you know, I think it's just keeping perspective. Saw some great things from Fields again. I thought the passing game was better than it was last week, which is good. But you had bad mistake. Bad late drive. And the other thing, too, is you mentioned the defense. This offense is not good enough yet. You would think it would be, scoring 30 points a game. It's not good enough to overcome that defense. Not good enough to overcome pick six. Yeah. Like we've seen it now a couple weeks. Here's your a stat for you. The Bears ran for 258 yards today. Okay. NFL teams in the last five seasons are 40-5 when running for 250 yards or more. Two of those losses, the Bears, in two straight weeks. Okay? Like, you're not...
I don't know if that's a fish pain fun fact, but that's a fact.
You know, I'm not... Like, I think I always hate that stat where, like, oh, this team has a great record when the runner runs for 100 yards. Well, yeah, because you're running late and whatnot. But, like, think about how hard it is to run for that many yards. It usually means you've dominated a game. And the Bears don't have the wins to show for it.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. I've been through the hiring process before. It can be a pain, but LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn. LinkedIn knows that small businesses are wearing so many hats and might not have the time or resources to hire. LinkedIn is constantly finding ways to make the process easier. And at this point, 2.5 million small businesses are using LinkedIn for hiring. So post your job for free at linkedin.com/Adam. That's linkedin.com/Adam to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm glad you mentioned the vibe in the locker room, because it's not just us saying it. In some cases, it's us repeating what we just heard in the locker room. Their passing game has to produce in those key moments. Their passing game has to move the ball in those key moments. Darnell Mooney said it himself. That's our next step. Cole Kmet said it himself. That's our next step. Execution in those moments, those pivotal moments. So it's not just us saying it. It's the locker room saying it as well. Can I give you some stats here from this one?
Yep, hit me.
Penalties, Lions, 2 for 15. Bears, 9 penalties for 86 yards.
You know what they say? It's hard when you have two opponents.
Ooh. The Lions and the ones throwing the yellow flags?
Yeah.
What? You disagree?
No, no. I got a lot of tweets about that today. Well, I pointed out the Bears, it's a season high in penalties for the Bears.
Yes, yes. Can we just agree the one on Jalen Johnson, probably the most crucial one of those nine penalties, was mm-hmm. not hands to the face?
Yes, and here's what's so I bang the drum that the NFL needs a sky judge. I talk about this all the time. And they kind of do. Like in New York, they are able to see these things and buzz down to the officials. So you remember when Matt Eberflus threw the challenge flag early in the game on what was called on the field a completed catch by the Detroit Lions? He threw the challenge flag. The officials talked and they picked up and then they said it was incomplete. My guess is that was New York calling them and telling them that was incomplete.
Yes. Yes.
So here, excuse me. I know it's hard to do on penalties, but like, couldn't somebody in New York have seen that and seen the replay and like buzzed down and said, hey, wasn't hands to the face again?
No, hands to the shoulder pads.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
What was the receiver's name? Trinity Benson?
Yes.
He fell to the ground like there was a sniper in the stands or something like that. It's a bad joke, I know, but it was just strange in the moment. And I'm sure that's why the official threw the flag. But he didn't leave the game with a head injury. He left the game after that play with a knee injury. Did not return. Just a bad play wiped out what could have been like the closing moment for the defense. 14-point lead in the fourth quarter. Jack Sanborn, the local kid from Lake Zurich High School, with the interception. Great read on the play. Throw into the end zone to the running back, and he read it all the way. An outstanding performance by him, but that changed the game. Next play, DeAndre Swift scores on a 9-yard run, and the momentum shifts. Less than 2 minutes later, maybe 90 seconds, it's a tie game after the pick six by Justin Fields. That penalty, an awful penalty, changed the complexion of this one. And I know they're going to turn it in, and I know the league is going to say that wasn't a hands to the face, but it's egregiously bad. That was an awful penalty call. There was no hands to the face is what I'm saying. Just awful.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a good call. And, you know, we didn't get a chance to talk to Jalen Johnson today. He said he's going to talk to us tomorrow, and he's never shy. So I look forward to seeing what he has to say. You know, that drive also had the unnecessary roughness on Kyler Gordon, the late hit, which was another kind of weird one.
Close, yeah.
You know, like you gotta know where you are and just hang back. But, excuse me, I think like, you know, going back to the discipline thing, the Bears were one of three teams in the league that had zero unnecessary roughness penalties this season before that call. And it's unfortunate, the timing of it all. And you can go back to, how about this? The pick six came one play after a Ryan Griffin holding penalty negated what was a 19-yard Khalil Herbert run. Put them in second 18, put them in position to run that screen.
Yep.
Lions so it was, it was tough.
I just, Adam Hoke's probably somewhere in the air just... No, just outraged at what happened today. But I don't like when the officials become a storyline. I don't think anybody.
Yeah, we don't want to talk about the officials. It's not, and like, I mean, I guess you could say in this one that shift was so monumental that it would have been Bears with the ball with a 14-point lead instead of the Lions scored to cut it to 7. I mean, that's massive. Like, I think it's fair to call that a critical moment. But again, the Bears had the ball with a 7-point lead. And then they had the ball again down by 1. And they had their defense on the field with a 6-point lead. There were more opportunities for the Bears to win this game that you don't have to put it all on that, just like we don't have to put it all on the pick six and whatnot.
It's a game of moments. Jack Sanborn was involved in a lot of them. Can we talk about him briefly?
Yeah, of course.
12 tackles, 2 sacks. He had his interception wiped out. Do you think the Bears have something here in Jack Sanborn?
You know, hand up. I was not on the Jack Sanborn train. When they traded Roquan Smith, I was like, well, what do you? You don't have anybody. Like, you have a couple undrafted. You have an undrafted rookie. Like, is that who you're going to rely on? And credit to him. He stepped up. And you remember, our guy Dane Brugler, he had Sanborn rated as a mid-round pick, I want to say, or day three pick. So he was one of the better undrafted rookies at a position of need. And he's been really, really solid at that spot, given the Bears kind of what they need for that position. Like, is he going to be able to run with the DeAndre Swift in coverage? No, like, that's not, you do your best to keep him out of those situations, of course. But I've been really impressed with what he's done the past 2 weeks.
Very good against the run. There was a third down. It was a pass. Wasn't third and long or maybe close to it. I'm forgetting the exact situation. But it was Sanborn made the tackle at the line of gain. Like just a yard short of the line of gain. And it was a physical tackle. It was a strong tackle where if that force isn't there from the linebacker, from the young linebacker, it's a first down and the chains keep moving for the Lions. And in a game where the pass rush wasn't there, I think seeing tackles like that, like forceful, impactful tackles like that from an undrafted rookie from Wisconsin, and again, nearby Lake Zurich High School, those are important plays. Important plays for a young defense at all levels.
You know, if you're Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus, you're looking for guys who are going to be part of this thing next year. I mean, Johnsy, outside Kyler Gordon and Jaquan Brisker and Jalen Johnson, who on this defense can you 100% say is going to be a starter next season? Probably Eddie Jackson still here, the way he's played. I mean, Dominique Robinson, does he become a starter? I mean, I think he'll be part of this team, he'll be part of this rotation as a draft pick. But you need to find guys who you can rely on. I mean, Nicholas Morrow is on a 1-year contract. Justin Jones on a 2-year contract. So he'll certainly be a starter next year. I think he's been the most impactful guy up front. But it doesn't mean they can't look for an upgraded three technique, too. There's a lot of different like, if you're Ryan Poles and if you're a fan and you're watching his team the rest of the way, that's what you're looking for in defense. Like, can somebody like Jack Sanborn say, hey, I'm your Mike linebacker. You don't have to go draft one. You don't have to go spend money on one. You found one in me as an undrafted rookie, and it allows him to take something off their to-do list. I don't think he's there yet after two games, but like, you really love to see what he's done because that's what the Bears are looking for, because right now they have so many needs on the defensive side of the ball to try to find long-term foundational guys to join Brisker and Gordon.
It looked like it today for a second start. And I like what Alan Williams is doing a little bit with him. He comes off the field in certain passing situations. DeAndre Houston Carson, who always seems to be that player who comes in, he's like the sixth defensive back, and you know, he'll blitz and he'll cover the running back out of the backfield and whatnot. He's always done that in his career. So
it'll be 2045 and DHC will still be the dime defensive back for
yes,
Chicago
yes.
Bears.
So you're getting some of that. Some protection, I should say, for Jack Sanborn through their coaching, which is good. You want to see that. But maybe eventually he's able to stay on there on the field of nickel situations. Before we go, I want to talk about two more players. Cole Kmet, 5 touchdowns in 3 games. I am done picking him for bold predictions for the rest of the year. I promise everybody. That 50 yarder wasn't easy, by the way. He had to stop, turn, make an adjustment to the ball, still outrace a guy into the end zone, but he's producing. No more bold predictions for me.
There was a play that I highlighted last week. It was he caught the ball. It would have been a 2-yard gain. He ran down the sideline, made it a 10-yard gain. Bowled a couple guys over.
Ran a guy over.
Yeah, and I think somebody, might have been Getsy, mentioned it, because that's what you were looking for from him. Catch the ball and then make plays after the catch. He had another one today, I think, where it, you know, maybe Cole Kmet last year, the year before, would have been a short gain, but he turned it into what he should turn it into as a second round pick with his athleticism. So I think you're really seeing him come into his own, and maybe more importantly, they're using him in the passing game. You know, he they're not asking him to block or protect every single play. They're really finding ways to use him, unlock him. The next step, though, John Z, is if Cole Kmet becomes more of a guy, can that open things up for the receivers? Because right now, you know, I don't want to be too critical, but you know who wasn't out there for most of that last drive? Was Chase Claypool.
That's who I wanted to finish this podcast with.
Yeah, so I think that's part of that next step for this offense is how do you make him a weapon when you need a guy to step up?
One catch for 8 yards, 2 targets. One of those targets. The second target was on that final possession, I believe, where Fields took a shot, but he was going for the back shoulder, and Chase Claypool kept running. Obviously, that's a sign of the lack of chemistry, but one catch, 8 yards, and I think it's not really goes officially as a catch, but that was like a sweep.
Touch pass, not? Yeah.
Yes, yes. Yep. So Chase Claypool didn't seem overly frustrated after the game. He knows he's only been here for 2 weeks. He described it himself as getting closer to fully understanding the playbook. Maybe he's closer than he... Maybe he's not as close as he thinks he is, but eventually, this is a guy you traded a second-round pick for, so you need to see some type of production, more than one catch for 8 yards.
And we talk about that last drive, right? You say Justin Fields needs guys who can get open, or guys who are open when they're not. Like, that's the type of player he's supposed to be, where you can kind of throw a 50-50 ball up and hope he'll catch it, hope he'll draw a flag like we did like he did last week against Miami. I just think, you know, Dante Pettis and Equanimeous St. Brown, we've done some really nice things as run blockers. You know, Pettis has had the big touchdown against Washington. You know, St. Brown and another nice play on the jet sweep today. But, you know, those guys aren't your future frontline receivers. Like, those are snaps that you'd like to see Claypool start getting those. And Byron Pringle, who came back today. Like, does he start working his way back into full health that he's getting some of those? And does he start making plays for this team?
Should help the passing game, right? The chemistry, a lot of moving pieces too. And if you're going to list things that aren't working well for the passing game, it's different receivers coming in and out. It's changes on the offensive line. Tevin Jenkins didn't play today. All that does not help with what the Bears want to do in terms of moving the ball through the air. But that's it, Kev. My final thought, Kevin, is I think the Bears have their quarterback. We could praise all the good things that he's doing, the running, some of the drives that he had today, some of the throws he had today, but still acknowledge that the passing game is a work in progress, and the experiences that he is having in two-minute situations just needs to happen.
Yep, I'm with you. I want to see more from Justin Fields, the passer. I think it's there, and I think it's okay to want that. I think it's okay to acknowledge, you know me, I'm a big two things are true guy, right? He's an incredible runner. He's shown a lot of improvement, tons of progress. This Bears offense is doing things it doesn't usually do. Hey, there's your rival podcast, Take the North.
Moving things around. If you're watching on YouTube, I'll give you an inside look. You can get this nowhere else, everybody. There is the Bears press box. There's Dan Wiederer, Larry Mayer.
Look how high maintenance this guy is. Needs the light, needs to move Larry. We were able to adapt. We were able to adjust.
We also didn't want to keep settings. Everybody waiting again.
Yeah, we didn't want you guys to wait. I'm with you.
Everybody waiting.
I do think you still come out of this game feeling really good about Justin Fields. You just there's just more steps in his development. That's all there is. And that's totally okay for a second year quarterback and his second coaching staff with the pieces around him. So it's just time to keep building, keep progressing from him. But there's still plenty of things that you could say that you liked from Sunday.
You feel good about Justin Fields. You feel good about Jack Sanborn, Cole Kmet. Justin Jones had some good plays. Jaquan Brisker had a couple strong tackles. There's reasons for optimism, but it's a young team that needs to learn to close out and win some close games. Close enough to lose close games. Had that in my column today, Kevin. So that's a wrap. You got something else, Kevin?
No, I got to go drink a gallon of water.
Okay. Thank you for watching on YouTube. Thanks for listening wherever you get your podcasts. Read us on theathletic.com, Adam Hogue, and allchgo.com. Rate and review the podcast. Hit that subscribe button on YouTube. Check out the merchandise, obviousshirts.com. That's it, everybody. We will be back on Tuesday with a very special QB-centric guest. See you then. See ya.
Point is, those are some numbers.